Hare Krishna. I'm very happy to be here again. I was last here maybe a few years ago. And now I have returned. Actually, people in this world are always coming and going. That is the nature of material existence. Things of matter come and things of matter go. The intelligent person wants to find out what does not change amidst all the changes. Deep inside us, we have a quest for experiences that are not limited by time and space. Of course, everywhere we turn in material existence, we find a barrier. There's something in us that wants to express the natural happiness of freedom from limitation. But as long as we have this body of matter, the mind of matter, intelligence of matter, we cannot taste what we are thirsty for. What is it in you that is thirsty? It is your non-material self. The secrets of life, in terms of the non-material self, cannot be understood by material analysis. Biochemical analysis will not reveal to you the secrets of your real identity. Therefore, you always feel there's something missing. Or else, you can just ignore your spiritual intuitions, ignore the higher self, and just focus on accumulating money any way it comes in order to live a temporarily comfortable life. A few weeks ago, I was talking to one scientist in chemistry. He's a young man. He's working for Monsanto. And he told me that some years back, this world-famous multinational corporation had made a plan. Their goal was to dominate the world's food supply and control it chemically through genetically modified food. They would flood the world with their own seeds, genetically modified seeds. And that way, through patents, make the whole world's agriculture dependent on this one multinational corporation. So the chemical engineers and assorted scientists were adopting this as their mission statement. Yes, let us control the world's food supply. If anyone wants to eat, that means they have to come through our door because we'll control the seeds. We'll choke off the supply of natural seeds, make such seeds more and more scarce, and the people will have to come to us for seeds. They'll become more and more dependent on our genetically modified seeds, and our profits will expand exponentially. Not only that, but with our clever chemical brains, we will design seeds that only respond favorably to the fertilizer that we sell. In this way, we will dominate. So this chemical scientist was telling me how some radio stations in the USA, they had the idea that, the old-fashioned idea that you're supposed to report the truth for the benefit of the people. So some reporters for a few small radio stations found out that there was scientific research showing that genetically modified food had hazards and caused great problems in animals that took such food, or the animals wouldn't touch the genetically modified food. And so the reporters thought, we will make a big special and put this on our radio station. Yeah. And then Monsanto applied pressure. We'll sue you for libel. You're blaspheming our products. Even if ultimately you win in court, it'll be so exhausting for you. You're just small time. We are so big. Do you want to take us on? So then Monsanto threatened the owners of the radio station, will cause ruination for you one way or another. And the Monsanto sent its lawyer to talk to these reporters. And he just told them point blank, the news is whatever Monsanto wants. That is the news. Do you understand? Whatever we think is best, that's what you will report. Do you understand? So, here's what we'll do for you. We will ask you to give up your jobs. And we'll give you $200,000 if you just sign a contract saying you'll mention nothing for the next 5 years about anything that you've learned. And that way, we'll have 5 years to prove to people the benefits of our scientific discoveries. You'll have your $2,000, $200,000. Everyone will live happily ever after. Science can march on. So these people refused. The reporters refused. No, we won't be bought off. So they lost their jobs. They got no money. And they tried to get their story to the big media, and the big media would not listen, because the chemical giant Monsanto had the big media in their pocket, because big media is controlled by big money. Monsanto's got big money. This is life in the 21st century. And you may have to deal with these kind of issues. Very deep ethical issues. But what is the basis of our ethics? Is it just, well, you can't stop all the cheating in this world, so you just gotta look out for yourself? Or you may think, even though there are problems caused by scientific research, science does a lot of good, so we'll just focus on the good and not pay attention to the bad. What is the basis for our ethical decisions? That basis has to be, what is the ultimate goal of life? If we do not know what is the ultimate goal of life, our ethics will be off. Our judgments will be off. And we see more and more what is happening today is that because people simply want to make money as much as possible, they don't care about the effects of acquiring wealth. They don't care about hazards to other people, hazards to the earth. They don't care about the hazards to themselves. The Srimad Bhagavatam, the graduate study to Bhagavad Gita, speaks very strongly how life is not meant for gratifying our senses. Life is meant for developing self-discipline and self-control for the purpose of understanding the Supreme Absolute Truth. But if we just use our life for economic gain, this is the greatest disaster. A disaster in terms of our wasted life, and disaster in terms of the rest of the world also. As you know, there's a big debate about global warming. But more and more scientists are saying, yes, there's something to this. We can't ignore it. So different nations of the world are pointing the finger. You cut your emissions. No, you cut your emissions first. In the West, they're telling India and China, you cannot go on with the kind of growth you're having now because you'll just destroy the earth. The earth is already at its breaking point. So then, what does India and China say to the West? Look, you've already had your fun, and now you're trying to close the party down. If it's anyone who should be drastically cutting back, it's you guys. You've had your day. Now it's our turn. Who are you to tell us to restrict our growth? You've been, running wild for, a few centuries, and now that everyone realizes, that there's great danger to the environment, you're telling us to cut back, and our day has just come. Why don't you cut back? You've had all the fun. We've been waiting for our day in the sun. You see, no one wants to control their senses. Everyone is sure unlimited growth is the answer. Individually, unlimited hedonism is the answer. So on a social level, unlimited growth is the answer. No one on either the individual level or the social level understands self-control as wealth, self-satisfaction as prosperity. No one understands that. And they expect peace and happiness. We have seen how here in India, the heart attack rate for persons in their 20s and 30s has skyrocketed because so much stress. I'm sure you know those statistics. How what used to be a problem for executives in their 40s is now a problem for executives in their 30s and even 20s. Because the stress is so great. A human being is not meant for that kind of stress. A human being, as Srimad Bhagavatam states, a human being is meant for inquiry into what is the Supreme Absolute Truth. Jivasya tattva jigyasa. That is the message of Bhagavatam. Because people have no understanding what is the ultimate goal of life. Therefore, how do you expect that they can make proper ethical decisions? How do you expect that they'll be able to understand what is good? It's not possible. Therefore, everyone just says, well, you just have to do what is obvious, and that is have unlimited growth, have uncontrolled senses, get as much money as possible, some or other. First do that, then later think of other things. Well, this is the mission that material society is handing you. First get money, then when you have so much money, more than you need to live a simple life. Then, after getting so much money, then you can start to think, is there anything else to life? The actual fact is, though, in your efforts to get to achieve unlimited growth, constantly increasing prosperity, in the effort to do that, you lose your intelligence. You become full of anxiety, full of stress. And with an anxious mind, with a stressed out mind, you cannot consider what is the ultimate goal of life. It is not possible. So therefore, what we are witnessing is a kind of society that destroys the human potential. For truth, for mercy, for cleanliness, for controlled senses. Now, naturally, you may be wondering, what is going to be your place in the scheme of things? How can you make a difference? It's quite easy to say, well, what can I do amidst all this hypocrisy and corruption? There's really not much I can do. I'm just trying to support my family, provide security for my loved ones, and get some prosperity for myself, of course. Must I worry about anything more? What Lord Krishna is asking for in Bhagavad Gita is not that you abandon your occupation, but that you develop an inner core of knowledge and strength, spiritual knowledge and strength. And then you can know how to handle yourself in this topsy-turvy world of hypocrisy. Otherwise, how are you going to be ethical? How are you going to be just? How are you going to be good? Who determines what the standard is? You'll end up with an arrangement like making honor among thieves. Some thieves rob a bank, and then they race in their getaway car to their hideout. And when they get to their hideout, they say, all right, now let's divide everything up fairly. This is contemporary ethics. We plunder the universe for all its resources, but we have no idea who is the ultimate proprietor, and we don't ask that question. Spirituality in the 21st century addresses the issues of self-control, and then you can address the issues of how to live properly in nature. But without addressing the issue of self-control, you'll never be able to deal with what's around you. Therefore, the quest for knowledge has to deal with our identity. Is it material or non-material? Now, generally, people don't even address the question of what is life. There's just an assumption that everything springs from matter and proceeds from the simple to the complex. Is there any proof that everything about a living entity can be explained in terms of matter? Those who have this belief, they actually are religious in an unknown way. They don't know that they're actually being religious in that they're embracing a belief, a doctrine. The presupposition is matter gives rise to everything. Life, consciousness, all that can be traced back to matter. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, matter is one thing, the spiritual energy is another. Lord Krishna is personally explaining about his energies, so you don't get confused. He claims both the matter and the spirit energy as his own. And then he instructs you how to harmonize with these energies for your own good. The best engineering happens when you hear from Krishna and apply your senses according to Krishna's instructions, then you get the result. That is the best engineering. I explained to this chemical scientist from Monsanto. He was very concerned, you know. I like the company, the corporation, they're giving me big opportunities, big money, but I just don't know how to handle their stranglehold on anyone knowing what they're doing. I know their problems and what they're doing. So what should I do? I do want to make money. I do want a big house or two or three. I do want, you know, several cars. I want my share of the American dream. His parents were from India. He grew up in the USA. So he said, I want my share of the American dream, just like everyone else. At the same time, something is in my heart telling me, this is not right. And I'm contributing to the suffering of so many persons. So I explained to him, you haven't yet uncovered the real problem. You haven't gotten to your real mistake. Even if you get to the bottom of all the environmental and ecological hypocrisy, even if you get to the bottom of Monsanto's trickery and arm twisting around the world, still you haven't understood the real problem in life. The real problem in life is misidentification. Spirit soul is thinking it's the material body. Pure spirit soul is identifying with temporary matter, with biochemistry. That's the real problem. Unless you solve that problem, you won't be able to change any of the problems in the world, no matter how much you say, because you haven't gotten underneath to get to the root. Now, does that mean in Krishna consciousness that you don't pay attention to the world's problems? You don't try to help suffering people? The fact is, if I were in need of clothes or food, and you brought me some clothes or food, if you came up with some scientific solution to make my life easier, I would be grateful. But I wouldn't think you've solved my problems in life. That is the point. Lord Krishna is not asking you to shut down all your scientific endeavors and not try to help anyone in any kind of way. Oh, Lord Krishna is simply pointing out what is real, lasting welfare work and what is subordinate or temporary, not as important, not as significant welfare work. As I said, if I needed clothes and you gave me clothes, what would I say? I'm not the body, I'm spirit soul. I don't need your help. No, I wouldn't say that. I would be grateful. Thank you. I needed some clothes. But the point is, in taking your gift of clothes, I wouldn't think you've solved my real problems in life. That is the difference between someone who has spiritual knowledge and someone who doesn't. The person who has Krishna conscious knowledge understands help for the body is just that. It's help for the body. But we're not the body. We're pure spirit soul. Therefore, the best help is for uncovering our spiritual identity. In other words, we have to see everything in perspective. It's not that a Krishna conscious person is against any kind of material relief efforts, material charity efforts. No. It's just that we want clarity. We want lucidity. That until you address the problem of misidentification with the body and mind, you haven't solved the real problems in life. In other words, there's prioritization. Those of you who ride motorcycles or motor scooters, you know those things take petrol to run. So when you put the petrol into the tank of your motorcycle or motor scooter, do you think, oh, now I'm getting relief? No, you just think the machine needs some fuel. So I put some fuel in the machine, but I don't think I've solved my own problems in life. Similarly, you should take care of your body. You should take care of your mind because they are Krishna's property. But in doing so, don't think that you've actually gotten to the root of your problems. The root of the problems is spiritual and requires spiritual sustenance, spiritual rejuvenation. As you know, many of you, sometimes there is the expression that service to man is the same as service to God. Manava seva is madhava seva. But we say manava seva is manava seva, and madhava seva is madhava seva. We are not against manava seva, service to humanity. But we recognize prioritization. What is the best service? Just like I have been told, this institution here is the finest training grounds in all of Asia for preparing future scientists and engineers in chemistry. Is that so? Everyone's nodding their head. Yes, yes, it's so. Now, the fact that you say this is the best, does that mean that you want to shut down all the other institutions and say they're all useless? They should just close up shop? No. It's just a matter of ranking, prioritization, that's all. Similarly, if we say the best service is Madhava Seva, Krishna Seva, serving Krishna, does that mean that you cannot give a hungry person food or a poor person clothes? No. It's just you understand the priorities, the ranking, and you put most of your attention on the number one and lesser on the number two or number three. That's all. Actually, without learning how to control our mind and senses, we'll never be able to achieve anything significant in this life. What you're seeing in the world now is a complete departure from self-discipline, sense control. Money at any get the money any way you can, by any means necessary. That's become everyone's ethic, whether as a multinational corporation or as an individual. My worth will be decided in terms of how much I can make. Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita gives you the method of analyzing your self-worth, first of all, in terms of can you control your senses, and secondly, in terms of do you have spiritual knowledge, knowledge of the spirit soul? And thirdly, do you have knowledge of the Supreme Soul and your relationship with the Supreme Soul? Those who have those kind of treasures are the true wealthy persons. We're supposed to be in the midst of the information age, but no one knows what is the best kind of information to have. Therefore, everyone's on information overload. And the stress gets worse and worse. Every passing year, the stress increases. People can't handle it. They can't keep up with the stress. Here also in India, the stress problem is coming. Very huge. Very big. Everything used to be slow and easy. 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I remember I first came to India in 1977. There might have been so many things one could say then, but one would certainly say that there wasn't a stress problem. Life went on slowly. Now, with the acceleration, economic expansion, you see what comes with it. So much anxiety, so much stress. We need to decide what is the best kind of information for living in this day and age. And then make your priorities accordingly. To have a successful life now requires a penetrating analysis in terms of your own priorities, your own vision. Without establishing your own priorities and your own vision, you'll be swept away by this money-making monster, both on the individual level and on the multinational level. You'll have your personal ethics decided for you by whatever is blowing in the wind at the moment. You don't want that to happen. Therefore, the bhakti yogi, the yogi in devotion, knows how to live in this world without becoming affected by the world. That is the greatest mysticism. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, yoginam api sarvesham mangate nanturatmana. Of all the different types of yogis, who is the best yogi? The one who, even while performing apparently ordinary affairs, working, home life, so forth, still, though, that person, that yogi, is fully absorbed in thinking of me, sacrificing for me. That is the highest type of yogi, the highest type of yoga. You all have that chance to master yourself and then teach others. In this way, you will truly see a difference that you're making. You'll truly see you've made a difference in someone's life. To ferry people across the other side of the ocean, to get them to land on sane shores, free from such overwhelming stress and anxiety, persons are required who can help people to understand what is the best information, how to get that information. Otherwise, what's the point in living in the information age if we don't know what is the best kind of information? So let us not simply have stuff shoveled down our throats and in our ears. Let us develop a sense of priorities. Yes, sometimes we do less important things, but we know what the most important thing is. The most important thing is jivasya tattva jigyasya. The most important thing is that this human body is particularly meant for understanding what is the soul, understanding what is God. This human body has that particular portfolio. Now, if you want to have other purposes for your life, the human body isn't the best for that. We have to be practical. We have to analyze this human body for what it is. The human body is not very good for the animal propensities. But when it comes to understanding what is consciousness, what is the spirit self, what is the supreme spirit self, the human body is the best for that. I'd like to encourage you all to continue gathering your vision together, shaping your vision so that you can see your way through the immense darkness of this current time. It's so dark because people have no idea who they are and they don't care to want to know those things. As long as they're making money, that's the only criterion. We want to establish a different type of society. And it's not difficult to do. The efforts begin with just a few persons, and then it can expand. You'll make it so easy for people to approach Krishna consciousness, because you're demonstrating it yourself. In that way, you are extremely merciful and extremely compassionate. The ethics problem will creep up in your life. You'll see. I know one student in Russia. He was the top computer whiz. He was the top hack in all of Russia. He could crack into anything. So he was at his computer terminal in the computer laboratory, because in Russia, even if you're studying IT, most of the students don't have enough money to have their own laptop or desktop even. So the university has a big computer lab and, you know, many terminals. And so you go there and you do your work. So he was number one, the sharpest mind. And he was being recruited by the KGB, the concurrent equivalent of the KGB. They wanted him because he was famous throughout Russia for cracking codes and hacking into systems. So his life success was assured. Once he was sitting at his computer, he told me this, and then he had to get up and go somewhere, answer nature's call. So he left the computer laboratory and went to relieve himself, and then he came back. While he was gone, someone who was very envious of him sat down at the computer he was at and did something to crash the whole university's computer system. So naturally, you know, investigation was made. Who did this? Who crashed the whole computer system university? And then they could see, oh, so-and-so was on this particular computer at this particular time. Quite clear. You did this malicious deed, therefore we're now kicking you out of the university. That was the end of his brilliant opportunity. Number one in the whole country, number one IT student, eagerly recruited by the KGB. Brilliant future. But someone ruined it just in a few moments. He couldn't explain his way out of it. The proof was there. You had logged in on this computer, and from that computer, the whole university's computer system went down. You did it. We know about your reputation. And so you've just become rotten, and you've done this great damage. He was finished. These are the kind of things that happen in the world as people race each other to get the best position, the best money. There's no ethics except just be good to your family and your friends. Beyond that, do what you got to do. These are the ethics that permeate society today. And now we find that even the family and friends are becoming less and less. In the Western countries, the surveys show that people are having less and less friends. People are becoming more lonely than ever. There's something in us that's not being satisfied, is not being fulfilled. That is the spirit self, the non-material identity. While we are studying matter, we should also spend some time studying the spiritual energy, which actually is more important than our life truly has balance. But please take into account, as you make your way through the coming years, you must have a strong set of ethics, a strong sense of personal responsibility, if you're going to benefit yourself and benefit others. Only the Krishna conscious person can actually stand up to all this pressure, all this hypocrisy, all the illusion. Because if you follow Lord Krishna's instructions given in Bhagavad Gita, you will be strong and consolidated internally. You'll know what is what. You'll understand what is your purpose in life. And no one can take that away from you. Everyone knows that if the whole world pursues blind economic development, it'll be a disaster. But no one can stop doing it. You notice that? They talk and talk and talk and talk. They can't stop it. Sense control can only be exercised by someone who has higher qualities. You can't expect persons who live a degraded, uncontrolled lifestyle. You can't expect them to be able to actually steer their life properly. It's not possible. My hope and prayer is that at least some of you will take to the call for consolidating your inner spiritual development, and then you'll know how to deal with others. Of course, how to deal with yourself. This is the direction that bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, is moving toward. And I have traveled on every continent of the world for over a quarter of a century. I can easily see and easily say, there's no knowledge that compares to what Lord Krishna gives in Bhagavad Gita. There's no knowledge that compares to Srimad Bhagavatam. People may have a little bit of knowledge of matter, whether it's chemistry, biology, astrophysics, whatever. But where do you go to get knowledge of the non-material identity, the spirit soul and the supreme soul? We want knowledge of the soul and the supreme soul, not religious belief. We want to know how to experience the spiritual dimension. Then we are able to survive this century and even help others to survive in this information overload age in which you get all the information you need except what's valuable. Only a very shrewd and discriminating person can see his way through all this. And we're hoping that you'll increase your discrimination more and more, your spiritual strength more and more. And in this way, you'll be able to actually make a difference by applying Lord Krishna's instructions in your daily life. So I'll stop here. Any questions? Lot to think about. I can go on speaking, it just would get late, but I know I can see you're all deep in thought. I would like that you feel this individual responsibility for developing a real sense of ethics and purpose, not just take what's handed to you or just follow the crowd. The crowd says, just get as much money as you can, get the best pay that you can, then get the best comforts you can, and everything will be all right. No? Remember, jivasya tattva jigyasya. This human form of life has a special function, a special purpose. While taking care of the lesser priorities, focus on the number one priority, and then your life will truly be successful. Yes. That 95%.
99% of the people are not following the word of God.
They don't know what is God, so how can they follow the rules of God? I was reading a book by one of the most prominent scientists in the USA. I think his name is Francis Collins. He's head of the Human Genome Project. And he is a devout Christian. He can explain so many genetic complexities. But when it comes to God, he can't explain anything. He simply says, my God is a good God, or my God is a just God. But he can't explain anything about God. Because there is such a shortage in knowledge about God, therefore, intelligent persons think, well, why should we follow the rules of God when we know nothing about God? Who wants to follow the rules of someone that you know nothing about? The greatest need is knowledge of God. That will make the difference in this age of hypocrisy when so many people claim to be a particular religion, but they have no knowledge of God. They stamp themselves with this religion or that religion. They even fight about it. But where's the knowledge of God? So, it may seem that there are just a few persons who are trying to understand Krishna, trying to practice Krishna consciousness. But those few persons can do so much. So don't be discouraged that it seems just 1 or 2%. That 1 or 2% can become very powerful. Quantity is something, But more important than the quantity is the qualitative strength. Yes, we would like it if tonight there were 100,000 students here. We'd be very happy. At the same time, if there's just one serious student here who will, while pushing on his ordinary life, will dedicate himself to Krishna conscious knowledge, spiritual knowledge, and teach others, then tonight is very successful. Of course, you have more than one here. Things have grown greatly since I was last here, I can see. Since I was last here, it was not so many persons. Now, so many. If you just grow by 1% a year, soon you'll need a bigger place to meet. Quantity is something, but the quality is most important. It's not a question of either or. Just like so many of you are wondering, it's either Krishna consciousness or... No. We're speaking of prioritization, balance. While you're doing your ordinary activities, understand what is the number one priority and address it. That's all. And you'll see a big difference in the world. First, you'll see the big difference in yourself. Yes. The Srimad Bhagavatam answers that. Live very simply. Just acquire what you need for a simple life so that you can focus most of your energies on understanding what is God, how to increase your Krishna consciousness. Always think, if I do this, if I acquire this, will it impede my Krishna conscious lifestyle, or will it aid my Krishna conscious lifestyle? You always ask yourself that question. Then you'll have the intelligence. Krishna will give you the intelligence how to keep a simple life so you can develop the real wealth. See, my whole presentation depends on your understanding what is real wealth. Real wealth is not financial. Real wealth is self-control, self-mastery, knowledge of God, and cultivating the relationship with God, with Krishna. That is real wealth. You may have other kinds of wealth. That's all right. But you have to recognize what is the real wealth. That's all. Yes. You should sympathize for them. You should feel compassion for them. The materialistic propaganda is so intense. It takes a strong person with a strong sense of inner ethics and inner will to resist all that. What would you do if Monsanto recruits you and then says, you are going to be our main person for teaching us, showing us how to achieve dominance over the world's food supply? You're going to meet other scientists, and if you find any that are coming up with negative research about what we're doing, you'll give us their names and help us to give them a bit of financial support so that their research takes another turn. What will you do? The Krishna conscious person knows how to handle these situations. It's not that to be a Krishna conscious person, you are very naive and you're very simplistic and you're trying to escape from the world. No, the Krishna conscious person knows how to handle the world on behalf of Krishna. You're aware of your area of concern and your area of influence. You understand that even if you could stop all the economic and political cheating, all that abuse, if you could stop it all, you still haven't gotten to the root cause of material existence, which is forgetfulness of Krishna, forgetfulness of God, forgetfulness of your spiritual identity. So don't be critical towards those who run the other way. See what's pushing them. Try to understand the force that's pushing them. So much propaganda, so much social pressure that's pushing them to run away from you. But not everyone's running away. I see. You will find persons who take what you do very seriously. Mm-hmm. Yes? I think what you're saying is that although you accept there's a supreme being, you haven't seen persons who act in a saintly way or a God-conscious way. It is a problem. As I said, so many people are running around claiming, I'm this religion, I'm that religion, but they don't demonstrate the qualities of a truly religious person. My point is that what you present can easily be solved if we understand that real religion dispels the ignorance of our thinking we are matter, the material energy, thinking we are a biochemical reality, and therefore we neglect our spiritual needs, our spiritual self. Real religion begins with that point. Yes, you had a question?
Our mind have tendency to compare. How can we compare the Krishna conscious wealth with the materialistic wealth? Because always we compare ourselves with other people's outside of the world.
The Krishna conscious person has the priceless gems of internal development, self-mastery, and a connection to the Supreme Self, to Krishna. There's no material wealth that can compare to that. That kind of wealth can't be taxed, it can't be stolen. It is your eternal possession. You'll find this topic of what is real wealth is going to become more and more on people's minds in the coming years. It's already starting to happen. learned persons are seeing that although there has been so much wealth for some of the world's population, we have not seen a corresponding increase in happiness. For example, in Japan, in the past few decades in Japan, the gross national product has quintupled. It's gone up five times from the 1950s. But there has not been any rise at all in the people's level of self-contentment and happiness as measured by social scientists. Naturally, you'll begin to think, maybe we've missed the point. Those of you who take the time for studying Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, you'll be able to see how to benefit yourself and the world in the best way. It just takes some effort. Now please make that effort. How is our schedule doing? Yes? The question is, let us say someone is very poor, and that person is spending all their time working for their family. They don't have time to think of God. Therefore, that person is very close to God because he's working very hard to take care of his family, and he has no time to think of God. If you follow Lord Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita, you'll see it's easy for everyone to think of Krishna. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Manmana Bhavamad Bhakta, always think of me, become my devotee. The mind is always thinking of something. Therefore, if you train the mind to always think of Krishna, whether you're rich or poor, then your life is successful. Even you can drink water. As you're drinking water, you think, Krishna's the taste in water. Rasaham apsukonteya. Krishna says, I am the taste of water. You think that while you're drinking water? That is Krishna consciousness. Now, how much time did that take? Your mother and father, they are your mother and father. No. They are parts of God. And according to their consciousness of Krishna, that's how spiritual they are. It is not unusual. Allow me to say, it is not unusual to have a mother or a father. In so many species of life, there are mothers and fathers, you know? Yes, we respect our mother and father. Even in animal species, there's respect shown for the mother and father. But how much more respect should we show for the Supreme Father? Everything is prioritized. It's not because we do this, we can't do that. You have to see the whole scheme of things. If the mother and father are able to raise their children in Krishna consciousness, that mother and father are so glorious, no matter whether they're rich or poor. That's why in Srimad Bhagavatam it is stated, don't be a mother, don't be a father, unless you can rescue your dependents from the cycle of repeated birth and death. So once again, we have to understand what is real wealth, what is real value. Yes, it is very good that parents take care of their children to their best ability. But we must recognize what is the best care. The best care is satisfying the spiritual needs. Okay? How are we doing in terms of time? What do you want to, should we go on? More questions. Okay, yes, yes. That's why we need good association. In good association, the process of Krishna consciousness becomes very easy. I can feel the potential in this group here. That potential is so powerful. When you all are together, I can feel how your brains are clicking together. Therefore, you should come together and encourage one another, fortify each other. That's why we're having this sangha, this association. The more you work together to make this association vibrant, nourishing, the more you'll see so many great heroes arise, intellectual heroes, lifestyle heroes, heroes who can show it's possible to follow Lord Krishna's instructions while living in the world. You see, there's a disadvantage in one sense to my lifestyle. It's very good for teaching others Krishna consciousness because I don't have any other diversions. But many people will look at someone like me and think, all right, you have devoted yourself fully. You don't work. You don't have a family. So Krishna consciousness is possible for you, but it's not possible for us. But what will be their excuse when they see you all practicing Krishna consciousness? What are they going to say? So you all will shatter all the misconceptions. That will be your great contribution. And the whole world is waiting for this contribution. So my prayer is that you all don't be selfish. Don't be self-centered. Don't go down the same path of self-destruction as so many others. Help each other to focus on the ultimate goal of life, on Krishna consciousness, and you'll do the best thing for yourself as well as for your family, for society, for the world. Yes? Actually, any time is the best time to practice Krishna consciousness, whether you're young or old. anytime. As soon as you understand the need for Krishna consciousness, it's the right time. The recommendation, of course, is Komara Atradat Pragya Dharman Bhagavatanya. From the very beginning of life, you should practice Krishna consciousness. Or from that point when you find out about it. Don't delay. Don't wait until your body is old and useless. The best time to begin your Krishna consciousness is when you have the youthful energies, because without Krishna consciousness, your youthful energies will get you into a lot of trouble. But if you learn the art and science and culture of how to put those energies into Krishna consciousness, your life will become very powerful in service to Krishna. Yes?
What made you be a part of this course?
What made me want to take up Krishna consciousness? I had a powerful motivation that I wanted the best knowledge and real happiness. So during my years at Yale University, I studied all kinds of ancient and modern societies, and I could see that political and economic changes did not provide any substantial happiness, any deep knowledge. I studied the history of science and technology. Again, I saw the same thing. When I graduated, I happened across the books of Srila Prabhupada, and when I read them, I thought, now my education has finally begun. Right now, Yale University for 4 years costs more than $100,000. But you can get one of Srila Prabhupada's books for $5 or $10, and I say nothing compares to the knowledge in those books. That's why I'm here now. That's all right. I wanted the best knowledge. The best knowledge deals with the point. Are you just matter? Are you just biochemicals? Or are you something more? If there is God, then you should know everything about God. Otherwise, like this scientist in the USA, Francis Collins, head of the Human Genome Project, all he can say is, my God. But he can't give any information. Where do we go to learn the science of God? Where do we go to learn the science of the soul? Krishna will teach you. This is the land of Lord Krishna's teachings, so you please take those teachings all over the world. You can work, you can raise a family, that's all right, but just understand what's the number one priority, okay? And who knows, maybe one or two of you will become a specialist. Krishna conscious specialist. Every field needs its specialist, yes? It's professors. So maybe one or two of you will become a Krishna conscious specialist professor. Because if Krishna consciousness is the topmost knowledge and the topmost happiness, then this field requires specialists. Who want to fully absorb themselves in that topmost knowledge and happiness. But not everyone's going to become a specialist. That's all right. It's understood. Now, most people like to hear from specialists, but when it comes to living their life, they want to see another kind of person who's more like them. Oh, you're working, you have a family. Oh, okay, I can relate to that. I like to hear from the specialist. By hearing from the specialist, you can get your vision fixed. But then to see how to live your life, well, I would like to watch someone who shares my lifestyle. Working, family, like that. So all these things are there in Krishna consciousness. All right. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.